Well, a teenage boy had just passed his driving test and inquired of his father as to when they could discuss the use of the car. His father said he'd make a deal. Son, if you bring your grades from a C to a B average, study your Bible every day, and get your hair cut, then we'll talk about the car. The boy thought about that for a moment, and he decided he'd settle for the deal, and they agreed on it. After about 6 weeks, his father said, Son, you've brought your grades up, and I've observed that you've been reading the Bible every day, but I'm very disappointed in you that you haven't gotten your hair cut. The boy said, You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that, and I've noticed in my studies of the Bible that Samson had long hair. John the Baptist had long hair. Moses had long hair. And there's even strong evidence that Jesus had long hair. And his dad said, And did you also notice that they all walked everywhere they went? So tonight we're going to talk about John the Baptist, one of those mentioned in that opening story. Why does the church on the third Sunday of Advent always have us read about John the Baptist? It's because he's one of the great saints of Advent. Along with Our Lady and Saint Joseph, Saint John the Baptist is one of the three great Advent saints. Why is he such a great saint for Advent? Because he prepared people for the Lord. And that's what Advent is all about. The church is a modern day John the Baptist calling us to prepare our hearts and souls for the coming of Christ again at Christmas. Every year we celebrate the birthday of our Lord and Savior. And so each Advent, the church prepares us to receive the Lord, just like John the Baptist prepared the people to make their hearts ready to receive the Lord 2,000 years ago. Well, what should we try to imitate of John the Baptist? Well, first, he was a witness. He was a witness to Christ from the time he was in the womb until the time he was in Herod's dungeon. His whole life was a witness to Christ. That's what we're called to be as well, witnesses to Jesus, to point the way to Christ, to lead other souls that we meet to our Lord Jesus Christ. Even from the womb, when John the Baptist heard Mary's voice and knew that the Redeemer was nearby, he leapt for joy in his mother's womb. He was unable to speak, but he leapt because he was so filled with joy that the Messiah was near. John was only 6 months developed in his mother's womb, which reminds us that human life is sacred from the moment of conception until natural death. Here he was, the first one ever to acknowledge the Messiah was an unborn babe in his mother's womb. And when he heard Mary's voice, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. John was sanctified. He was cleansed of original sin. And original sin was washed away. And he received sanctifying grace in his soul. So in a sense, we could say that was John's baptism when he was 6 months in his mother's womb. That's when he was cleansed from original sin. So he was a witness even as an unborn baby. And then during his whole life, he was a witness to Christ. He went out into the desert, fasted and prayed, and he was baptizing people, and they went and they confessed their sins to the Lord, and he baptized them, which is a good reminder for us to make sure we go to confession during Advent, just like the people prepared their hearts by going to confession. So we too have to prepare our hearts by going to confession as well during Advent. So the people confessed their sins, and John baptized them. And then he spoke out against the evils of his day because King Herod was living in adultery with his brother's wife. And John the Baptist said, No, that is wrong. That violates marriage. It violates the Ten Commandments. And because of that, John was arrested because he was a witness to the truth and to the sanctity of marriage and to the commandments. And he was imprisoned. And ultimately, he was beheaded for his defense of the sanctity of marriage and his defense of the Ten Commandments. And so John was a witness to the very moment when he was beheaded in King Herod's dungeon. So what a powerful example he is for all of us to be a witness to Christ in our modern society, which is getting further and further away from God with all of the immorality. We have to be witnesses to our Lord Jesus Christ and to the commandments. Another thing we can learn about John was his humility. John's motto was, "He must increase and I must decrease." And that should be the motto for each one of us. That should be our spirituality as well. We want Jesus to increase within us, to become more and more like Jesus. That is the purpose of life, to become like Christ. And ourselves, we want to decrease our pride or arrogance or vanity or impatience or whatever struggles that we have. We want to decrease ourselves so that Jesus can grow within us, so we grow more and more like Christ. And that is the great example of John the Baptist. So he was a witness, he was a man of courage and integrity and fortitude and preaching against the evils of his society, just as we have many evils in our modern society. But he was a man of humility. So today, that's why every third Sunday of Advent, the church wants us to reflect on John the Baptist and then to apply those things to our life so we can prepare our hearts for the Lord. Today, of course, we are celebrating joy. The third candle is the beautiful rose-colored candle. We even wear the rose vestments as well, because today is a day of joy. We're now at the third Sunday of Advent. It is called Gaudete Sunday, Rejoicing Sunday, because we're getting close to Christmas, so we are filled with joy. And one last thought we should take with us tonight is that Mother Teresa said that joy is spelled J-O-Y, which stands for Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. Mother Teresa, who was one of the most joyful people to walk the face of the earth, gave us the secret of happiness and the secret of joy. Always put Jesus first in your life. How do you do that? By praying every day, by staying close to the Lord, going to Mass every Sunday, going to Eucharistic adoration, reading your scriptures, praying the rosary, going to regular confession. See, that's how you keep Jesus first. And then others second, which means you put your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, you put others ahead of you. And Mother Teresa says that, again, that is the secret of happiness, to love and serve God, and then to love and serve other people. See, the happiest people on earth are those that are forgetful of themselves and are giving and serving the Lord and serving other people. The unhappiest people are those who are so self-focused and self-centered. Self-centered and self-focused people are the unhappiest of people because they're only focused upon themselves. But if they would instead look outward and love and serve God and serve Jesus and put him first and then find a way to serve other people. They say the best remedy to make yourself happy is to make other people happy. To go visit a nursing home and visit an elderly person, or go visit a homebound or shut-in and bring joy to them, and then you'll be happy. Go visit somebody in prison or at the hospital. Do something nice for someone else. And that is the secret to happiness ourselves. To be forgetful of self and not to dwell upon ourselves, but always to put Jesus first and others ahead of us.